She called me and she said, my car, they're going to cook out over there today and have a pool party today. That's why she pushed me so hard to get the pool up. And I did get it up. I was a little bit irritated, but it's up. Anyway, she stopped at Dollar General Store to get some hamburger buns and stuff. And she went inside. One of the kids opened the car door from inside and set the alarms off on the car. And I'm trying to coach her with a phone. I said, start the car up. It'll cancel the alarms. And it did, but it's still... I'm going to have to take the, when I get home, take the battery, unhook it, and reset, reboot the computers on the car. It's as confused could be. I don't know where it's stolen or not. But anyway, I've had one of them kind of weeks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But God's still on the throne, and I'm encouraged to know that He's helped me through all that I've had to deal with this week. And you know, I take the bad of God over the good of the devil any day.
Oh, yeah.
I look around and I see, buddy, so many things. Next month's supposed to be the blood moon. It's got scientists to all pieces.
Yeah.
Got the world worried. And it's got me kind of cheered up because he talked about there's going to be one of the signs for his return.
Amen.
But we're gonna teach this one out of Matthew chapter 5 and ask God for help here. Lord, we thank you for your precious word. And Lord, we ought to give the most earnest heed to it. And I pray, God, you'll help us, Lord. Open your words to us. Make known your words to us, Lord. I pray, God, for your help. I pray, Lord, your leadership would lead and guide us through these scriptures, Lord, however far we get in this chapter. I pray, Lord, it'd be meaningful. I pray, God, it would encourage us for the day and hour we're living in. And I thank you and praise you, Lord, through these lips of clay. I just want you to know I love you, and I thank you, Lord. You've been so gracious, good to this man. I couldn't say anything but good about you. If you was to kill me today, I'd have to say, Lord, you're gracious and good. And I so deserved hell, and you so gave me heaven. I thank you for that. I praise you, Lord, for the peace that's in my heart, for the privilege to be able to say I have a home in heaven. I thank you for that, Lord. Bless these that are before us, and bless those that be listening to this teaching on the internet. For all these things, ask in Jesus' name, your blessed will be done. Amen.
Amen.
I want to title this teaching today, and I have to say there's been more emphasis on the internet on the teaching than there has been upon the preaching. I don't really have an explanation for that other than the title of last Sunday school's lesson was Illegal Immigrants in America.
Yeah.
And we taught out of Exodus, I think it was Exodus chapter 12. Or maybe Exodus chapter 21. Might have been Exodus chapter 21. But the title of that message caught the eye of the world, and that was why I titled it such as I did. So I'm titling this teaching today on Jesus teaching humanity. And humanity needs to be taught how to live with one another.
Amen.
How to forbear.
Amen.
One another.
Amen.
How to forgive one another.
Amen.
How to forget things that you're mad about. Don't let the sun go down your mouth. We need to be taught humanity. And the one that created humanity, he taught humanity how to dwell together in unity. And we'll have some good and some bad in this teaching. We'll try our best to explain and expound upon it best we can. But Jesus here says, and send the multitudes. And what did God? We had a multitude here this morning. I wish there was 5,000 people here this morning to hear this lesson.
Yeah.
I really do. Jesus, and send the multitudes. He went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people are high-minded. They, instead of being clothed in humility, they wear pride. We got this great pride thing going on now.
Yeah.
And pride goes before destruction, and the haughty spirit before a fall. God resisteth the proud, exalts the humble. His very first verse in teaching, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. That's humility.
Yeah.
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, unless you humble yourself, You'll never know God like you need to know God.
Amen. Amen.
If He's not God of all, He's not God at Amen. All. I want you to know, I raised my white flag of surrender up April 27th, 1988. And I threw myself at His mercy.
Yeah.
And I said, Lord, if You be willing, I sure would like to be forgiven.
Yeah.
I sure would like to be saved. Amen. I just want you to know, God notices humility. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. There ain't no turkey strutting, no peacock feathers in heaven. I'll just tell you right now, we'll all be amazed.
That's right.
We'll all stand amazed when we realize what God had to go through just to give us a home in heaven. We'll understand more about God that day than we do now. But He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Heaven is the citizens of people that have been humbled by the great truths of God's Word, and they've learned from the great treasures of God's Word that they can have a home in heaven. So that heaven is their home. He said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I pray for people that have lost loved ones.
Yes.
I call their names after God, Brother Ed. Just this week, I seen my uncle's wife at the post office. Now, Brother Harvey gave me this picture of this deer. I got it in my billfold here, and he told me, he said, when you see Keith, my uncle's Keith Wallace, he said, give him this picture, tell him I want to see him. Now, I've got to give Harvey that picture back, because I run into Keith's wife, Betty, at the post office. I said, where's Uncle Keith at? She said, Eddie, he died 2 months ago.
Oh man.
Now, the last time I talked to Keith, he looked good. He was doing good. He was driving, still bowling. You know, he's like 89 years old, still going strong. Man, I'm telling you, real force of life was strong. He wasn't feeble. And yet, without my knowledge, they all have my number. I gave it to Keith and Betty a million times saying, I want you to come to church.
Yeah.
I invited them. That's all you can do is compel them.
That's it.
I mean, all the only thing I know is just put a gun on them and say, look, you go to church, I'll kill you right now. That's the only thing I have to put in them a life, a death. And, you know, I do everything I know to do. I don't know. I send a subpoena, have them arrested, show up at church. I don't know. But blessed are they that mourn. A lot of people, their loved ones aren't here today. Just this week, 5 people murdered. Maryland.
Yeah.
At the Gazette newspaper.
Yep.
News thing there. Guy goes in, he's disgruntled. He's mad. He's about like Jonah. He says, I'd do well to be angry even unto death. He goes in there with a shotgun. He's barricaded the back door. His intent is to kill them. And he selectively picks 5 people out.
Yeah.
He wants a whole lot more because he's using a shotgun. He's using a pump shotgun. And he wounded a lot of people. But he intentionally killed 5
Amen.
People.
Yes, he did.
Now, those families are mourning those that have been robbed. Now they're bereaved of ones that they love. I think it was 2 women, 3 men, I believe.
Yeah.
But the Lord here, He talks about mourning. And everybody don't get comforted when it comes to mourning. You know, God, He's the God of all comfort.
Yes, He is.
But some people don't want that comfort, Brother Ed. Let me show you something here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul here teaching his church in Corinth, verse 3, he said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Some people don't want nothing to do with God.
Right, amen.
They don't want the comfort of God. They don't want the compassion of God. But I'll tell you what, those that do want it, He's the God of all comfort.
Amen.
Verse 4, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I thank God for the comfort.
Amen.
Now look again a little further here in Thessalonians. Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 13. I'm just going to read the latter part of this verse to be effective in what I'm trying to convey here. The latter part of verse 13. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Some people have no hope, have no comfort, because they don't want nothing to do with the comforter or the hope of heaven that's offered through God.
Right.
They're without hope.
That's right.
Therefore, verse 18, again, Paul teaching a church in Thessalonica, he said, wherefore comfort one another with these words.
Amen.
Now, I just want you to know, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I've got a daughter in heaven. I've got a mother, a father, uncles, aunts, grandmothers, grandfathers, and I'm going to be comforted. When I hug that 17-year-old daughter's neck and see her again, in that better place,
amen,
in that better body,
yeah,
on that, yeah, better day.
Yes.
And I tell her, I said, honey, I just want you to know I'm sorry for being such a sorry father.
Amen.
She said, Dad, I'm sorry for being such a sorry daughter.
Amen.
And we make everything right there in,
yeah,
heaven.
Right,
we'll
there
understand why, yeah, Jesus said, blessed are they,
amen,
that mourn, for they,
yes,
shall be comforted. God's going to bring,
yeah,
those with Him,
yeah,
when He comes.
Yeah.
We're going to be caught up in the air to be with,
yes,
Him in the air. So,
amen,
shall we ever be. And that's why you're going to need eternity, because it'll take an eternity to say all the things you wanted to say in this short life and do all the things you want to do in this vapor of a life that we call a lifespan. I'm just telling you, Jesus says there's something better that you can understand, that blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now that only applies to the children of God, and I want you to know it's God that's going to comfort us by His coming. He's going to bring our children, He's going to bring our family when He comes. He's going to bring them with Him. He's going to bring them with Him when He comes.
Praise God. Yeah.
You know why?
Thank you, Lord.
I don't go visit the grave. You can hold it against me if you want to, but the Bible says, why seek ye the living among the dead?
That's right.
When I go to the graveyard, I'm reminded there's a dead person.
Yeah.
Graves are here, tombstones are put up, but they're not there.
That's right.
Part be in Christ, far better to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
And everybody don't believe that, and I don't try to beat the drum too loud. I don't hammer that too hard. I understand. Everybody's got a right to an opinion. We've all got them. They're like armpits of stank. But, you know, God, He doesn't change. His Word doesn't change.
That's right.
I'm telling you, if you just study this Word a little bit, you'll understand why the Lord says, blessed are they that mourn. See, you don't lose with God. I know my uncle's not here, but I'll tell you what, that same uncle took me to church when I was a little 10-year-old towhead of a boy. And even though I didn't act right and had to walk home lots of times because I was so... unruly, so disruptive in church, he done his best.
Yeah.
And when I walked home, it wasn't nobody's fault but mine, he come back here and he said, shh. And I wouldn't shh. Mm-hmm. He'd take me downstairs and we'd talk, come back up, and I'd be just as unruly as ever. But I'll tell you what, Brother Ed, he invited me back that next Sunday.
Yeah.
He picked me up.
Look,
and that black and white 57 Chevrolet station wagon with that checkerboard gray and black interior.
Yeah.
That four-door black and white with that horse buggy,
yeah,
and horse on the hood, you know.
Yeah.
That 283 automatic.
Amen.
Power glide transmission. We pulled up there at the First Church of Nazarene on West Main Street. We went into that house of God. I might not know nothing about God, but I'll tell you this, my uncle did. He tried his best and best in this little boy. He tried his best. I still remember him teaching Sunday school. And I still remember some of the things he taught us, how to make things with our hands and stuff. We made these little bookends and had the little cross on the end there. That might sound like it was some simple thing. I still remember it.
Yeah.
But we don't lose with God. My uncle,
right,
he's gone,
right,
to be with the one that loved him and gave himself for him. And he is bought with that price.
Amen.
And he was redeemed with that blood.
Yes,
and I know where he is.
Yeah.
I mean, God called Elijah up And Elisha come back with a mantle of God. And they said, "Where's Elijah?" And he said, "He's gone." And they didn't believe the report. They said, "Can we go look?" He said, "Go look." And they went, looked, and looked, and they couldn't find him. He's gone. We're going to be gone one of these days.
Yeah, we are.
Thank you, Lord, for your help. He said, "Blessed are the meek." We've got everything but meekness today.
Yes, we do.
Well, I've never seen so many people with their teeth on the edge, chip on the shoulder.
Yep.
I'll show you. They just had a stabbing. 9 people brutally stabbed. Of course, they're not going to release the details. They got to make sure they can suppress the real truth of the matter.
Yeah.
I like news. I watch a lot, but I also watch it like eat water, man. Eat what you can, spit the rest out.
That's right.
I don't like being deceived. I don't like being lied to. Our president, think what you say about him, he's pretty much right about fake news.
Yeah.
There's a lot of propaganda being promoted. That stabbing, I mean, I don't have to have nobody tell me. I already knew when I heard about stabbing where it came from. He's a Muslim.
Yeah.
Anyway, they don't want to release the details about it just yet. They got to figure out some way to kind of give it a covering, somehow try to make it not as bad as what it really is.
That's right.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Amen.
And, you know, if you want to live long days, you better be meek.
Yeah.
Now, I just want to show you scripture why I say if you want to live long days, you better be meek. In 1 Peter chapter 3, talking about meekness now, I'll start in verse 9. "Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are whereunto, or you are thereunto called that you should inherit a blessing." Now here's meekness. "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him skew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good?"
Amen.
Now the Lord here says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." I mentioned, I think, last week about, I think it was 5 boys came into a store and brutally stabbed a 15-year-old boy to death, and they said it was a case of mistaken identity. And they were members of a gang. And when the truth was all told, everybody in that store just turned their head and allowed this to happen. They just did not acknowledge it even going on. They just acted like it wasn't going on. And they're over stabbing this boy and they drug him outside and brutally killed him. And it was a case of mistaken identity. Well, I don't know all the circumstances about that, but I'll just tell you, buddy, we've got a lot of need for meekness today.
Amen. Yeah. Yes, we do.
Meekness is a good cloak to be clothed with. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." He said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." That's why we're not mowing the yard today, like the guy just passed coming up here.
Yeah.
That's why we're not cutting the tree like the house I just got right before they got to the bridge or trying to mow the yard. The woman's tired of ducking underneath the limbs and the husband's up there cutting the tree limbs out, and I hope everything goes well. I mean, no mischief, but I'll just be honest with you. God is no respecter of persons.
All right.
"Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." And he said, "Remember this." I know this ain't the Sabbath day. This is the Lord's day. John said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." It's different. But I'll tell you, the same respect for the Sabbath also pertains to the Lord's day.
Amen.
It's
Amen.
All about Him.
It is.
And for Him, the Bible says, "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching," Hebrews 10:25. Where are they at?
That's right.
I'm glad y'all are here. I mean, we got enough to have church. Don't get me wrong. But the Lord here teaching humanity.
Amen.
And he says to humanity, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. God wants you filled.
Right.
Not with the things of this world. You know, you can be filled with righteousness or you can be filled with wickedness.
Yeah.
The wiles of the devil, he's a worthy adversary.
Oh, man.
He's not ignorant.
Yeah.
When he sets a snare, it's for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to entrap and he wants to enslave. And he wants to somehow get you in a, what they call it now, a compromising proposition where you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have been put in that predicament. You know, the devil, the Bible says, Paul said, we're not ignorant of his devices. But it says, put on the armor of God you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I'll just tell you, buddy, we're in a war and ain't no discharge from it. We've got a war, a good warfare, and I don't like being in a war anyway. But if there's got to be one, I want to win.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, a lot of people have ended up on the pile of castaways just because they underestimated their enemy that walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour.
Right.
And they end up becoming victims instead of victors, if you know what I mean.
That's right.
Well, the best solution to not just lost humanity, but saved humanity is to be in church. And I'm so glad to have Brother Steve, is that right?
Bob,
sorry, Bob. I thought you was Steve, I'm sorry.
I don't care what you call me, just call me when it's dinner time.
All right, Brother Bob and Brother Ed, it's good to have y'all here this morning, but I wonder, Jesus said, were there not nine cleansed? Or ten cleansed? Yeah, he said, where are the nine?
Amen.
You know, 10 lepers were cleansed. Only one returned to give God glory. And that's about the odds today.
Yeah.
About 1 out of 10 have come to the house of God to say, Lord, thank you for having mercy on me. Thank you for forgiving me, for saving me. But the Lord here, as he's teaching humanity, he said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let me see if I can add to that verse just a little bit. The Lord's really helping me here this morning. I thank God for it.
Yeah,
he's gracious, good God.
Praise the Lord. He's good all the time.
Well, I thought I was going to be looking at Isaiah 40, but it looks like I'm going to be going to Psalms 40. There's a lot of territory here in this little pea brain. Psalms 42. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. And I do believe that humanity does need to hunger and thirst after righteousness and after God.
Yes.
Because God wants them to be filled. And you know, you can be filled with a lot of things. And, I'd rather be filled with God.
Amen.
And you know, some people say, I don't care, just fill me up. Whatever. I tell you, I want to take advantage of the opportunity that you can have all the God you want. I don't want to leave no room for the devil to have any place to work in.
That's right.
But he said, verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And I'm glad that I did obtain mercy. Paul, he wasn't merciful. His comments about himself declared that he was merciless. He said, I'm in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And he went on to say, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy. And you know, you can obtain mercy. Saul, before he became Paul, was not merciful.
No, that's right.
But he obtained mercy, and in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 through 16, he comments on that mercy. You know, God, He's gracious, good, long-suffering, patient, and His will is good towards all men. That was one thing the angel spoke about the birth of Jesus. He said, good will towards all men. God's will is good. God doesn't have an evil thought about us.
No.
He reaches out, tries to help. We might bite the help hand of God, but God still stretches it out. He said, my hand all day long, my hand's been stretched out, no man regarded.
Yeah.
God offers mercy. We turn it down, blame God for everything don't go our way. But He said, blessed are the merciful. God is merciful. He's kind. He's generous.
Yes,
gracious. Good. For they shall obtain mercy. Boy, you turn down the mercy of God, you deserve whatever you get.
Amen.
I'm glad I obtained mercy.
Yeah.
And I thank God for everyone that has. And I would to God they all would seek that mercy of God.
Amen.
He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Mm-hmm. Now, I've not seen God.
No.
The Bible said no man's seen God at any time. And, you know, Jesus was the manifestation of God, and those that seen Him seen God in the flesh.
Yes.
But to see God, humanity has to be saved. And when you're saved, then you can't die. And after you get saved, you're not only part of the family of God and children of God, but you'll see God. And I just want you to know, the world wants to see God, but they want to see the God they want to see. They don't want to see the God
that
inhabits eternity. They want to see the God that somehow condones sin and somehow makes exceptions and excuses.
Amen.
Look, God did make an exception to me. I won't deny that. I deserved hell.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't get what I deserved. I'm glad I got what I didn't deserve.
That's right.
But the pure in heart, I had a wicked heart, but He gave me a new heart.
Amen.
And now I have a pure heart. And now, praise God, blessed God, I'll see God, not here, but there. We'll see Him. The Bible said when we see Him, let's comment on that here. 1 John. No man has seen God at any time. It says, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us, whereby we know that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit.
Yeah.
And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son. That ain't what I'm looking for. I'm looking for when we see Him, we'll be like Him. That's a pretty good text, though.
Yes, it is.
Let's see here.
Goes along with the lesson.
Yeah, it does. Yes, it does. Yeah, it does. It says, no man has seen God at any time.
Yeah.
Let's see here. We'll see Him as He is. Let's see here. Here we go. Thank you, Lord. Beloved, now we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but we do know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him,
amen,
for we shall see Him as He is.
Amen.
That's what I was looking for. But that other text, like Brother Ed said, that's a pretty good text too.
Yes,
and it does go along with our lesson.
Yes,
and whosoever shall confess that Jesus, Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believe that the love of God that God hath to us, God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world.
That's right.
But the pure in heart, they shall see God. We'll see Him as He is.
Amen.
And that's going to be a wonderful, beautiful sight.
No,
to see God.
Say.
The Bible says God is love. You're going to see love in the purest form. And it says, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, a lot of people, they think that that verse there is a kind of a verse to not chastise, to not correct. But I'll tell you right now, my dad was a peacemaker. When he took his belt off, I still remember saying, I'll be good, I'll be good.
Right.
I mean, he done said it.
Yeah, that's right.
Cut it out. He done said it. One more time. And I went further. You know how we are. Mission bound, hard child, rod of correction, driving far from him. And if thou beings him the rod, he should not surely die. Thou should live his soul male. Well, look, I took it further. And my dad done what a peacemaker has to do.
Amen.
He pulled that belt off, and when he got done, there was peace.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Now,
that's
we
right.
call policemen peacemakers.
Yeah.
Judges, justice of the peace. You got to realize peacemakers. Peacemaker is someone that says, we're going to the principal's office, and back then, buddy, you've been over that desk, and I want you to know you learned peace the hard way.
Yes, you did.
You found out there were rules, and you did not disobey the rules,
right.
or you paid the consequences, and there was peace in our schools in my day.
Amen.
Now, we don't have peace in our schools today because we got a bunch of unruly kids that think somehow that they can twist and turn the laws around to accommodate their behavior. I'll tell you right now, you want peace in the school? You put the paddle back where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, buddy.
You give the principal
Amen.
The charge. You discipline them or I'll discipline you. Look, when I got a whipping in school, I knew when I got home I was going to get another because he called home
right.
and said, I had to paddle your son today because he done this. Dad said, we'll take care of that also again when he gets home.
Yeah.
Listen on the peacemakers.
Yeah.
Listen, we're going to be preaching on those lines today, but I'll tell you why we got so much trouble in America. We're trying to ignore laws. Laws are good when they're obeyed. And there's no excuse for breaking the law. But these lawbreakers, these truce breakers, these unruly rioters, protesters, and I know my rights bunch, they've not known what it's like to have to answer for consequences because there have been so many excuses.
That's right.
There's been so many exceptions made. I just tell you, they're going to learn about the real peacemaker.
Yeah.
He's going to make peace.
Yes, he is.
Now, they ain't going to like the sentence, but it's still going to be served up, piping hot. Now, Jesus promoted peace, but he never did ever promote sin. I'll just tell you that right now.
Right.
And they're trying to somehow be politically correct and promote wrongs. And I'll just tell you right now, the peacemaker's going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be preaching about that today. But blessed are the peacemakers. I'm glad God's a peacemaker. He made peace in my heart.
Yes.
I was without God. I was without peace. I didn't know the peace of God that passeth understanding.
No.
But I'll tell you what, He made peace.
Yes, Lord.
And I've got such a calm, Brother Ed, I've even tried to work it up. But there's no more waves, no more wind blowing.
That's right.
Blowing. Like tornadoes no more in my soul.
No.
There's a great calm.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You can't put a price on that. I just tell you, it's so wonderful.
Yes.
It's so wonderful to have that peace of God. I'm glad He's a peacemaker.
Amen.
Yeah.
I had something wrong. I didn't know what it was. And I tried all the things of the world. That they said, do this, you'll have peace. They lied to me. I didn't have peace.
Yes, they did.
And what little bit of peace it did afford, it didn't last very long.
No.
It was just a temporary fix. You know, most people, they don't want to be fixed. They just want a temporary fix. Just get me through tonight.
That's
Michael Jackson died. You know why he died?
Yeah.
He asked the doctor. He said, Doctor, I can't sleep.
Yeah.
I've got a big event tomorrow.
Yeah.
Can you somehow get me to sleep? The doctor did. Hey, he was not an anesthesiologist. He was a doctor. Anesthesiologist understands you got to be careful when it comes to putting someone to sleep if you want to bring back a life.
Yeah.
The doctor did what Michael Jackson told him to do, no doubt how much money was involved. He put him to sleep, only he didn't wake back up.
Yep.
Now that temporary fix, in his case, was terminal.
Yeah, that's right.
But most of the world, they don't want that real peace. They want a false peace.
Yeah.
They just want, you know, just give me a little something to get me through today.
Yeah,
I don't really care about tomorrow. I just want to make it through today. And they'll give them some kind of antidepressant. Look, just get saved.
That's it.
Amen.
That's it.
I'm not hooked on pain pills.
No.
I don't have to worry about, you know, sleeping pills or anything. I sleep like a baby.
That's it. Just get saved.
It fixes everything. But the world, they don't want what God offers.
No.
But He's the real peacemaker.
Amen.
And they shall be called, look here.
Yeah.
For they shall be called the children of God.
Yeah.
Woo!
Woo! Yeah.
That's right, Brother Bob. I tell you what, but I might have been a child of Satan
about
34 years, and I wore my rebellion on my sleeve and on my hat and on my shirts.
Yeah.
And I might have been a rebel in my heart, but I'll tell you, boy, one day I run into the peacemaker.
Amen.
I like to preach about the peacemaker. It's kind of tugging on my heart. I like to preach about the peacemaker today. We want to go what God put in our heart.
Amen.
I certainly want to preach the preaching He bids us to preach. But thank God for the peacemaker.
Amen.
Woo!
Yeah.
I have to admit, that's getting pretty good here. We're about to play park here for a minute.
Amen.
Praise God, He made peace where there wasn't none.
Yes,
it's real peace.
Yeah. Amen.
The world offers a false peace.
Yes, they do.
They offer a pill. God offers peace. Blessed are they, because they shall be called the children of God.
Amen.
I'm glad my name's in the book.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm in the family of God.
Yeah.
I'm glad I can talk to God. He's my Father now. And I pray this morning. It was kind of a shame for me to say this, but it was just a quick prayer. So naming everybody by the name, I said, Lord, time's of essence. I haven't prepared this message. I'm in a great strait. I said, bless my family. And the families of my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
Bless every man of God that knows the Word of God to be the Word of God. Bless every church still singing your songs, still preaching your Word, visiting them from on high, ministering the midst. Do your mighty works. May souls be blessed. May souls be saved. And may all the glory and honor be given to you. I just had a little short prayer this morning. I usually name everyone by name. I think you ought to be real focus when you pray and real serious about prayer. And I just kind of throwed a little old penny-ante prayer out to God this morning, but I'm glad I can talk to God because I'm a child of God. I'm glad He gives me an audience and He says, speak, son. I'm glad I can come boldly to the throne of grace and bring my petition. God said, sure, son.
Amen.
I'll grant it to you out of my riches and glory. Oh my, I got to brag on God a little bit yesterday. I was in the house of a man that I was convinced that he was a lost man. And it was kind of strange how the conversation went. I felt the liberty to talk to him about their soul.
Yeah.
You know, I want to say this with charity here. I kind of had to eat a little crow about this. I worked with a man named Chuck Barbie. His mother and father was here the day that those six come forward.
Yeah.
That was Chuck Barbie's mom and dad.
Yeah.
And I worked with Chuck, and Chuck come to me one day, and man, I have to admit, I was green and immature concerning God. And Chuck come to me that day, a good brother in the Lord. We loved each other, fellowship. I mean, songs that worked together. And man, talked about the Lord and rejoiced in our God. He came to me one day, he said, Brother Eddie, I'd like to ask you a question. I said, well, sure, Brother Chuck, go ahead. He said, what do you think this verse means right here? And that verse says, cast not your pearls for swine, lest they trample them underfoot. And I said, well, I don't know, Chuck, I never really thought about it much. And he said, well, I'll tell you what I think it means. Now, I'm just about as dumb can be right here in this moment. I sure didn't see this coming.
Yeah.
And he said, I think it means that we ought to only witness the people that God leads us to witness to, not waste our time witnessing to everyone. And that flew over me. And I said, that is not true. I said, I'm going to witness to everyone, everywhere, every breath I've got is going to be devoted to telling people about the love of God, salvation of God. And you know what? God smoked me right there. And I knew He was right and I was wrong.
Yeah.
I didn't want to admit it.
Yeah.
But I knew right then I should have listened and kept my mouth shut.
Yeah.
Now, Chuck walked off because I was irate. Even though I'm getting saved, I had some of that holy indignation, righteous indignation. And he saw me back there fuming. And he came up to me in brotherly love. And he says, "Everything all right, brother?" And everything wasn't all right. Of course, I lied, bit my tongue, and yeah, fine, fine. And it consumed me throughout the whole day how wrong I was and how right he was.
Yeah.
And I stopped on the way home by a little church over there, and I went in there and I knelt down and I said, "God, we need to talk." I said, "I'm pretty sure I'm wrong, but I said I need some help knowing one way or the other." And I said, "Lord, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home and I'm going to walk into my house. I'm going to ask my godly wife what she thinks about that verse, and whatever she says, I'm going to take it to be as coming from you." And I drove home my righteous indignation, 90 miles an hour, I couldn't wait to get home. And I said, "Honey, what do you think about this verse right here, Cassidy, pearls for swine?" She said, "Well, I think it means you ought to just witness to those God leads you to witness to, not just waste
Woo!
Your time."
Yeah.
Thank you, honey. I went back there and wept. I said, "I'm sorry, Lord."
Yeah.
Anyway, I felt the leadership yesterday.
Yeah.
In this house.
And I believe God.
This older couple, their health's failing them, and they're succumbing to these elements. And I was sitting there talking with them, and I felt the leadership, and his name's Jim Lester. I didn't get his wife's name, but I said, "Jim, are you saved?" And I just knew he was going to say no, because he'd been so vulgar like me. And he said, "Yeah, I'm saved, Brother Eddie." He said, "I don't act like it, but I'm saved." I said, "Well, I certainly ain't going to argue that." I said, "Thank you for telling me." I told him I cared about it. I said, I wanted to know that. I said, "That's a comfort to me, know you're saved." And he immediately dropped his head. He said, "Yeah, I'm saved." He said, "I certainly need to be a better Christian." And I asked his wife, I said, "What about you?" I said, "Are you saved?" She said, "Yes, I'm saved too." I said, "Would y'all mind if I had a word of prayer with y'all while I'm here?" And they said, "Go right ahead." And I couldn't pray for a week. There was such a tender spirit there.
Yeah.
And I thank God for it. And
yeah.
Well, I got blessed praying for them, asking God to help them, asking Him to intervene on their situation financially and physically. They were suffering. I said, "Lord, you got everything they need."
Yeah.
I said, "Help them to realize it and help them to call upon you and ask for the help of God." And I said, "Would you minister to the herd and would you help them, Lord? I pray to see better days." And just got blessed really praying for them. But I just wanted to say I want the leadership of God in my life.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And we ought to seek that leadership.
That's right.
And this scripture here talks about that. It talks about being a peacemaker and being children of God, and about blessed are they which are persecuted for righteous sake. You know, we ain't home.
No.
Bible said, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, though some strange thing expected." This ain't home. There's a devil down here. He hates you.
That's right.
You're going to be persecuted.
That's right.
You're going to be propositioned. You're going to be put in spots.
Amen.
And on the spot and everything else for righteous sake. They want to somehow make you feel uncomfortable. I have to admit, they got their work cut out for them.
Mm-hmm.
But he teaches here about humanity, and he says to saved humanity, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteous sake. We've not really seen any great persecution here in America. Somewhat, but not as great as it is in other countries.
Right.
And my pastor said that martyr's crown is going to outshine them all.
Amen.
The Lord's going to come put crowns on, and man, they had to love not their life unto death. He's going to put that crown on, and he's going to say, "Well done."
Amen. That's right.
He's going to say, "We're all going to wish we'd done what they done," and he'll count our lives but nothing. But opportunities give glory to God. And here they had to look down the barrel of a gun. Y'all may not know this, but Kathy Bernard was one of the ones killed at Columbine school shooting.
Yeah.
She was a rebel. Hmm. Her friend invited her to youth camp a week before this shooting.
Well.
And she went. She got saved.
Oh.
I mean, buddy, she found out about the love of God.
Yeah.
She found out about the forgiving grace of God and got saved.
Amen.
And these two boys in these trench coats with these guns coming to Columbine School, and they walked up to Kathy Bernard and they put her on the spot. They said, "Are you a Christian?" And she said, "Yes, I am." And they killed her.
Yeah.
She'll get that martyr's crown. It cost you something to bear his name.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's worth the cost. Yes. I hate to hear about it. I heard her mom and dad testify about the difference in her since she went to that youth camp, and they were so proud of her. They're so sad that she got called away, but they said, "We're so glad that we know where we'll find her."
Amen. Right. Yes.
We can't do nothing about the persecution, but we can do something about the situation, and that's be ready.
Amen.
Them was tough words. "Yes, I am." That's the last word she spake.
Yeah.
"I am a Christian." Mm-hmm. And then two goons, when they got done with their killing, they killed themselves. The devil was done with them.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my.
Yes,
oh my. This persecution, it grieves me. It grieves God. It don't have to be that way. If humanity would let God tell them, if humanity would let God teach them, it wouldn't be that way.
Right.
There wouldn't be so much persecution for righteous sake, because they would know true righteousness. But I'll tell you right now, there's a bunch down there infected, ignorant of the righteousness of God, going about to establish their own righteousness, not submitting themselves to the righteousness of God. Saul could testify that.
Yeah.
That was him.
Yeah.
And he was persecuting Christians and running into the head of the church. And that was quite an encounter. He had more than a close encounter. He had a head-on collision.
Right.
But anyway, blessed are they that stoned Stephen. He called out, "God, lay not this sin to their charge." He understood the situation much better than they did. But blessed are they which are persecuted for righteous sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And I really like this next verse. I'd like to get it in. I hear people outside. But I'm glad that our home is heaven. And next verse, verse 11. "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Look at verse 12. "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven.
Amen.
For so persecuted they the prophets." You know, it's we're not home. It's no strange thing for us to be called religious bigots, to be called holy rollers, to be called this, to be called that.
Bible.
You know, they persecuted him.
Yeah.
They hated him without a cause.
That's right.
They said, "Away with him." And they'll say, "Away with you."
That's right.
And the same hatred they vented against him will be vented against you and me. Well, here comes man, Brother Danny, come in with a podium back there. We're going to stop on that verse right there. And I thank the Lord for blessing so much the effort to teach this morning.
Amen.
I've never had so much more than I could dish out, so much to deliver by the help and grace of God. And I thank God for that. And it's a good Sunday school lesson.
Yes, it was a good Sunday school lesson.
Very applicable for the hour we're living in. I wish humanity would give God a chance.
Thank you for that.
I mean, they don't want to give God any place at all in their life.
No.
And they're paying the price for it.
Yeah.